Okay. I'll just stand over here. I'm just going to pray quick. So, Yeshua, thank you that you are the Word, and thank you for giving me this understanding, this revelation for us tonight. And I just pray that your words would be spoken and none of me would be in it, just you. And I just pray for all of us to have the ears to hear and the eyes to see what you have to say and the heart to receive it. And we just ask for your presence to be here and just ask for clarity of mind and thought and that everything that you want spoken would be spoken, and anything that's not of you would just fall to the ground, and no one would remember it. In Yeshua's name, amen. So I felt like Yahweh wanted me to share with all of you. He was speaking to me a lot last night, and I felt like it wasn't just for me, but for everyone on the farm. And so I felt like he wanted me to bring it tonight. And it's about his manifest presence and how he has an invitation for us to go after his manifest presence. Just like Aranda was saying on Wednesday with Song of Solomon, to that invitation to arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. And then I feel like he's saying that to tarry with him 1 hour, as Bina was sharing, that will result in his manifest presence. And so I was looking back in Mark 14, where it talks about the tarrying, when Yeshua was in Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane, and Peter was with him. And it says, this is chapter 14, verse 37 and 38. It says, Yeshua says, "Why are you sleeping? Couldn't you stay awake 1 hour? Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And I feel like that's the purpose of the tarrying and of seeking his manifest presence, is so that we won't fall into temptation, that because this is the last hour, he wants us to tarry with him, so that when the going gets tough, we'll be able to, our spirits will be strong enough that our flesh won't get in the way. Because in Peter's situation, he didn't tarry with Yeshua, and the next morning he denied Christ. And we don't want that to happen. We've been wanting to be able to be strong when it gets down to it, when the gun is pointed at our head, to not deny Christ. And I just feel like he's saying to tarry with him so that we can get to that place, we can fall in love with him and not deny him. And so that's kind of the premise for what I'm going to share. So yesterday, I had the opportunity, to just seek his presence. That's just been a heart cry of mine, since I was younger, just to experience him and to experience his manifest presence. Because I wasn't really taught that you could go after that, that it wasn't necessary. You can just believe the word and just believe in God and just be faithful. But he has so much more for us than that. And he wants us to seek his presence and to experience him for real and not just in our heads or whatever. And so I felt the invitation to tarry with him 1 hour. And then I heard it again, tarry with me another hour and another hour. And so I was trying to stay connected with him or just seek him for several hours, and it wasn't anything glorified. Like, I was trying not to fall asleep and Yeah, and I didn't feel like I was getting anywhere. But then, so then I felt like something about 27. I like saw on my phone 27, and I looked up, and there was a book on the table, "Grace Through the Storm" by Kenny Adams that Johnny was reading, and I felt like he said, or I just felt led to look at page 27 and see what it had to say, and it said. Well, underlined, like, in print, it wasn't whoever read it, but it was, like, underlined in the book, you have to believe it to receive it. And that was underlined two different times in that on that page. The whole quote was, it was Yeshua speaking, and it said, "My word is true, but you have to believe it to receive it." And I felt like Yeshua was asking me, do you believe that I will manifest my presence to you, and because I have to believe it to receive it. And so that was hard for me because I realized, like, I didn't fully believe. I was hoping, but he doesn't have to show his manifest presence to me, and he hasn't most of my life. There's been a few times where I've felt him, but it hasn't been. Most of my past experiences has been I've cried out, but I haven't felt fulfilled in that. But that doesn't mean that he's not going to come and his presence isn't going to come. And so I just was able to just say, Yahweh, I believe, help my unbelief, like that man said, to Yeshua, because we can't even help our unbelief. He has to help us really believe. And so I was trying to search scriptures. Okay, what scriptures say that he will say what he's going to manifest his presence. And so I thought of that scripture where the Father, or Yeshua was talking about fathers and how they want to give good gifts to their children, and how much more does the Heavenly Father want to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And so I was like, yeah, that's a good one to stand on and believe for. But then I realized Psalm 27 is like the perfect one to stand on. And so if you would like to go to Psalm 27, even though we've been in it all month, but so it's David's heart cry. His heart cry is to experience the manifest presence of Yahweh in this psalm. One thing he asks of Yahweh, this only does he seek, that he may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of his life, to gaze upon the beauty of Yahweh and seek him in his temple. That's his manifest presence. That's like encountering him and seeing his beauty, and that's his desire. And then I saw the last two verses, 13 and 14. He says, I remain confident of this, I will see the goodness of Yahweh in the land of the living, which is this life. It's not just the life to come, but it's right now. And to wait on Yahweh, be strong and take heart and wait on Yahweh. And that waiting, I feel like, is the tarrying that he's talking about, or that I felt like he was speaking. So then I was, okay, what is the goodness of Yahweh that I can be confident that I will receive in this life? And I was hoping it was his presence, his manifest presence. And I realized, yeah, that's what he's asking and that's what he's believing for. So that word goodness, I remembered Exodus 33. So this is where we're going to camp out for a little bit. So if you all want to turn to Exodus 33... So this is where Moses is asking Yahweh for his presence and to see his glory. And so I remembered Moses asked Yahweh to see his glory in verse 18, and Yahweh responds, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. And so that's the same word that's used in Psalm 27:14. is his goodness, which is his glory, which is his presence. And so then, oh yeah, so then in verse 15, I see he actually asked for his presence. He says, "If your presence does not go," Moses responded to him, "don't make us go up from here." I looked up the word presence, and it means face, like his person, like his being. It's not just general, Yahweh is everywhere all the time, presence. It's him and his manifest presence. So then he's asking for that. And so this is what Yahweh's response is. And I believe it's his response to us. And I'll explain why. Verse 17, Yahweh answered Moses, "I will do this very thing you have asked, for you have found favor with me, and I know you by name." And so immediately I remembered, well, I wasn't there. On Wednesday night, Rhonda gave a word that the angel Gabriel said that we found favor with Yahweh. Like, he came, the Gabriel who stands in the presence of Yahweh came and said that we found favor with Yahweh. And so that was the first part of verse 17. But then he also knows us by name. And I remembered that was another word that Yahweh gave us. I looked it up in my journal on May 27th, 4 months ago. it was a Friday night, and it was when, Rhonda, you saw the two angels come up that were the guardians of his presence. I wrote it down. Let me read it. Rhonda saw two angels that she's never seen before enter the room, looking like guards with full armor and spears, and she heard they were guardians of Yahweh's presence. She felt he really wanted to come in the room, bring his full presence there, and we needed to create space for that to happen, to really focus on him and worship him in that time. It was a holy time and deserved our full focus and attention. So then she heard him say, Yahweh say, "They know my name, they know my name, and I know their name." And she shared how he seemed so pleased that we actually knew his name as Yahweh. That was when we were starting to call him Yahweh instead of God. And that he intimately knows us and knows our names. And that just struck me so much, that he knows our names, and that he said he knew our name. And then reading this in 33:17, he says, he will do this very thing that we have asked, or that Moses asked for his presence, because we have found favor with him, and he knows our names. And so I feel like that's for us too. Okay. So then I'm going to keep reading what happens. So in 19, I'll just read it. He said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim the name Yahweh before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." So then I'm like, in this passage, I'm seeing all these connections to Psalm 27. So where he says, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious." In Psalm 27:7, David asks Yahweh, "Be gracious to me and answer me. My heart says, if you seek his face, your face, Lord, I will seek." And so it's not on account of us that he would manifest his presence, but to call on his grace and just to ask him, like, will you be gracious to us? Because he will be gracious on who he will be gracious, and it's not like we deserve it, but we want it. And then it says in 20, but he added, "You cannot see my face, for humans cannot see me and live." And I believe Rhonda has taught on this a little bit, but how Yahweh says we can't see his face with our human bodies in his full glory, but we can still encounter him. It said Moses spoke to him face to face, like just several verses before this in the same chapter. So we can see him. It's just not in his full glory. But so then it says in 21, Yahweh said, here is a place near me. You are to stand on the rock. And that in Psalm 27:5 says, he will set me high on a rock. And so I'm just seeing the parallels. And Yeshua is the rock that we're standing on. And then in 22, and when my glory passes by, I will put you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And the crevice of the rock just reminds me of Song 2, that invitation that he has for us. My dove in the clefts of the rock and the crevices of the... let me find it. My dove in the cleft of the rock, in the crevices of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. And as Rhonda had shared, that the cleft of the rock is hiding in Yeshua, that we're covered by him. And I just feel like it's not just that Yeshua is asking us to see, or for us to show our face and for us to speak, but that we're asking him now, will you show your face and will you speak, because your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. So then 23, then I will take my hand away and you will see my back, but my face will not be seen. And so I just wanted to point out all those connections that I was seeing with Psalm 27 and Song 2. But now I'm going to read on to the actual encounter. So this all took place in the tent of meeting, you know, that tent that Moses pitched outside of the camp to meet with Yahweh. But then, so then Yahweh asked him to go up the mountain again, bring in two stone tablets, because this was after the calf, the gold calf and everything. And so he invites him to come up the mountain again. And I feel like that's what he's asking us to do, is come up the mountain. And it's an individual journey, but we can go together corporately, but it's going to be each one of us responding. It says he got up early the next morning to do it. He was receiving the invitation. So I'm going to read 34:2-9. Be prepared by morning. Oh, this is Yahweh speaking. Be prepared by morning. Come up Mount Sinai in the morning and stand before me on the mountaintop. No one may go up with you. In fact, no one should be seen anywhere on the mountain. Even the flocks and herds are not to graze in front of that mountain. Moses cut two stone tablets like the first ones. He got up early in the morning, and taking the two stone tablets in his hand, he climbed Mount Sinai, just as Yahweh had commanded him. Yahweh came down in a cloud. This is his encounter with him. He stood with him there and proclaimed his name, Yahweh. Yahweh passed in front of him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love and truth, maintaining faithful love to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity, rebellion, and sin. But he will not leave the guilty unpunished, bringing the father's iniquity on the children and grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. And then Moses immediately knelt low on the ground and worshipped, which is the only response that you can have when you encounter the living God. And then he said, my Lord, if I have indeed found favor with you, my Lord, please go with us. Even though this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our iniquity and our sin and accept us as your own possession. Let me take a drink of water.
Okay.
Okay. So I believe that he wants that encounter with us, or he wants us to encounter him like that. And that's what I long for. And it's like a twofold encounter, because it's not just experiencing him or feeling him with your five senses, but it's him revealing his character. He spoke his name and he revealed who he was, faithful and kind and gracious and just. And I think that's what that revelation is, what it takes to fall in love with him and to be able to not deny him in the end when it gets hard. And so that's what I'm praying for all of us, is that we would experience him and we would feel him and we would see him and hear him, but that we would also know his character through that and know who he really is, so that we won't be offended at the end, or just that we would really know him. Because I just want to speak on if we just know him in our head and what we've been taught and what we read, without really truly experiencing his love and seeing who he really is and seeing him touch us, we're not going to stand, or it's not likely that we will stand just on that alone. But we really need his manifest presence. And there's a lot of Christians that don't ever experience his manifest presence, and it's not like you're not going to be a Christian if you don't. And he doesn't always answer. He doesn't always reveal his presence. But I feel like he wants us to ask and to go after that, and he wants to answer it. It's hard to fall in love with an idea of someone, but to know and experience him is really how you fall in love, and that's how you can stay strong in the end. So, so, okay, and then this is my heart's cry too, is it's not just going to be a one-time encounter where you just experience him one time and that you remember it for the rest of your life, but it's what Moses asked after the encounter. He said, "My Lord, if I have indeed found favor with you, please go with us and forgive our iniquity and our sin and accept us as your own possession." So he's asking to go, that Yahweh would go with him, his manifest presence would go with him. And I loved when Marcy shared about Brother Lawrence and that his book on practicing the presence of God, because he totally took hold of that in his life, just working in the kitchen, living his monk life. He encountered the living presence of Yahweh throughout his day. It didn't matter if he was praying or not praying or serving or sleeping, or, well, maybe not when he was sleeping, but I'm sure his spirit was. But just that he never left the manifest presence of God, and it took practice, it took intentionality to get there, but he was able to get there and just really experience God all day long. And that's what Elul is all about, is encountering Yeshua in the field, the King in the field. As we go through our daily work, we can encounter his manifest presence. And it's not just knowing that his presence is always with us, but to know and to feel him and to just be aware that he's really there and he's living in us. That's my prayer, that it's not just a one encounter, but, or even a few encounters, or even when you just try to get everything away so that you can encounter him. But Brother Lawrence said there was no difference between his prayer time and his work, because he was always in the presence of Yahweh. And so I just really want that, and I want that for all of us. And so I just want to say too how it's up to Yahweh to bring his presence. It's not something we can demand of him. It's not something we earn by what we do, or it's a gift. And it shows that in Song of Solomon. So there's two times where he takes away his presence from the Shulamite. And the first time, she kind of encourages that because she tells him to leave. But then the second time, he just leaves. And it wasn't anything that she was doing. She was seeking him. She got up to open the door for him, but he wasn't there. And so don't think that, like, you can control his presence, or that if he's not there, you did something wrong. I mean, search your heart, but it might not be that. And don't lose heart. Keep seeking after him, because that's really what he desires, is for you to just run after him harder, so that you will find him and he will reveal himself. So I just, like, for those of you who have never experienced his presence, he has that for you, and that's something you can stand on and believe for in this life. And it's not just going to be in heaven, it's going to be right now. If you really want it, he wants that for you. So, and then I just also want to say, we kind of talked about this week, but to not have a narrow view of what his manifest presence is going to look like, because he comes in different ways, like a still small voice, when Elijah was in the mountain, I think the mountain of the Lord, in the cave, the fire and the thunder and the hail, or all the elements, but he wasn't in all of that, and that might be what you're hoping for or expecting, but he was in the still small voice. And so just keep your eyes open to how he wants to reveal his presence, and just acknowledge that that is his presence. And you can ask him for specific ways, like, I want to see you, Yeshua, or whatever. And he's a good father, but don't get offended if he doesn't show up the way that you want him to. So then that was kind of the conclusion of my night yesterday. But I felt, well, I was kind of like getting sleepy, and but I felt like he said Psalm 22, read Psalm 22. And yesterday was 22, the 22nd. And it was cool because I don't know if this is true, but I know Sue shared before she left. She was all about, like, the manifest presence of God. And she said 22 means, like, the light of his glory or something like that, which is his manifest presence. And I know 22 is Kelly's number, but it's also my number, and I see that number a lot. And I was just encouraged, because that's just something that I've always wanted, is his manifest presence. And just that 22 might mean that. So I went to Psalm 22, and I just felt like the scripture that stuck out to me was verse 26, which says, those who seek Yahweh praise him. And I feel like that's one way to get into his presence, is through praise, and to enter his courts with thanksgiving and his gates with praise. And that's what Brother Lawrence did too, was he would just start thanking him and praising him. And then he would be able to get into just experiencing his presence. And so that's just food for thought. to just start praising him and just see where it leads. So let's tarry with him 1 hour. Let's ask for his grace. Let's hide in the rock. Let's accept the invitation. Let's believe and receive that we will see the goodness of Yahweh in the land of the living. Let's wait on Yahweh. Let's be strong and take heart and wait on Yahweh. So I'm just going to pray. Yahweh, and just thank you. Thank you that you're here. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you desire us to seek your face. And thank you that you seek our face. Thank you that you said that we found favor with you and that you know our names. And so we just receive that and we just pray with Moses for your manifest presence, for your glory. And we just ask to experience your goodness in the land of the living. Just pray for courage and grace for all of us as we just wait on you and just show us how to do that and give us the time, the grace just to really say yes, and just help us to have that burning desire to keep seeking you and seeking you, even if you're not easily found, that we would just continue to keep going and going until we find you. So I just thank you for this word that you gave me to share, and I just pray that it would take root and grow as you want it to grow. In Yeshua's name, amen.